It's a schosem and honor to be here today, as I say every week. One of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. And now we're introduced to a new Sefer. Sefer Devarim, Mishnah Torah. And this week we have Parshas Devarim. And intertwine what we're going to do, as we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions. But this year we're going to also talk about Tisha B'Av. And see how it relates, and God willing, there won't be a Tisha B'Av on Sunday. But if there is one, let's understand what that day is about. Right in the Hakdama of Parshas Devarim, the great Ramban Nachmanides tells us that this whole Sefer is Mishnah Torah, the review, and Moshe Rabbeinu is getting Klal Yisrael ready for going into Eretz Yisrael, the six-week speech. And he's giving them mitzvos to prepare them for Eretz Yisrael. Comes along the Ramban, and the Ramban says, when did this Nevuah take place? Says the Ramban, it took place in the first year. The first year that they were in the Midbar, they were in the Midbar for 40 years. And in the first year, that's when he was given the Nevuah. Comes along the Radvaz, Rav David ben Zimri, one of the Gedolei Achronim. He wrote so many tshuvas, and he argues with the Ramban. And he says, I don't get it. If it was given in the first year, then Moshe Rabbeinu should have given to them. Every Navi has to give over the Nevuah. Says the Radvaz, really, it was given in the 40th year, right before they entered Eretz Yisrael. So again, a very interesting introduction of what Sefer Devarim is about, the review of all the events that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving it over. But let's get to the questions. And obviously the stories, but the question like this. The Rambam, in Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchos Brachos, says something fascinating. He's quoting down from the Gemara Megillah and Daf Lamed Aleph from the Beis. The Gemara says that Ezra HaSofer was mesakein that you read Kriyas HaTorah and we try to finish it in all in 1 year. And we know that we have certain parshas that are read before different times. For example, he says, before Atzeres, before Shavuos, we have Bamidbar. And if I'd ask you, Tisha B'Av, what should be before Tisha B'Av? Obviously, every year, it should be Sefer Devarim. But the Rambam says something fascinating. The Rambam says that we have Tisha B'Av. And you know what we do after Tisha B'Av? We read Parshas Ve'eschanon. And the obvious question is, how come the Rambam says that after Tisha B'Av we read Parshas Ve'eschanon and he doesn't say that we read Sefer Devarim? Question 2. If you right in the beginning of the Parsha, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Ela Devarim Asher Diber Moshe. These are the words that Moshe Rabbeinu says. El Kol Yisrael Be'Ever HaYarden. As we know, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't so able to get into Eretz Yisrael. Ba'Midbar Ba'Rava Mul Suf Ben Paran Uben Atofel V'Lavan V'Chatzeros V'Dizahav. Moshe Rabbeinu is going through the history, and right away in the first pasuk, he says that you messed up Ben Paran. That's a chait hamaraglim. Uben Atofel V'Lavan, and you messed up with the mon. You complained about the mon. V'chatzeros, you messed up, says Rashi. You messed up with Korach. V'dizahav, you messed up with the Chetan Egel. If you look at the great Kli Yakar, he's spoken so much about the Kli Yakar. He was actually Zoyche to be in the Mikros Gedolos for Ephraim Lenchin, who was the chief rabbi of Prague. He lived in 1550 to 1619. He was tremendous. He knew all of Shas, and he was able to write this like lengthy discussions and essays about the Parsha and Chazals. And if you look right in the beginning of Devarim, he has a whole lengthy discussion. And he ties it in to Tisha B'Av in the 3 weeks. And he says something amazing. We all know that the Gemara in Yuma tells us in Daf Tes, right, all those people that do Daf Yomi, finish Yuma, right, a shout out to my father, a shout out to my father-in-law, and all those that are doing Daf Yomi, the consistency of it. You know, if you miss one daf, you got to catch it up in the catch-up game. But tremendous, the consistency in the Torah. And the Gemara tells us in Yuma that the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because of the three cardinal sins. Gili Arayos, the moral act, Shvichas Damim, to kill someone in Avodah Zarah. And we know that the Gemara says that why was the second Beis Hamikdash destroyed? As we all know, we're taught as little kids, is because of Sinas Chinam. Comes along the Kli Yakar and he says something amazing. He says, in the first Beis Hamikdash, yes, it was the three cardinal sins. You can't go against the Gemara. But he says it was also because of the Sinas Chinam, of the Nesiim. And everyone's asking the question, What do you mean? The second Beis Hamikdash was Sinas Chinam, not the first. And furthermore, right in that pasuk, we speak about the idea of Ben Paran, the Chet HaMeraglim. What a terrible Chet it was, causing us to be in the Midbar. And the Gemara tells us in Tainis that one of the first things that happened on Tishwa was the Chet HaMeraglim. And Hashem says, you're going to cry about Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to give you a Bechia L'Doros, I'm going to make you cry for generations and generations to come. And we want to know what happened exactly with the Chet HaMeraglim. Question 3. There's an interesting, fascinating Gemara found in Mechoros. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya was a tremendous Chacham. They came over to him and they said, I have the following question. If you have an egg, are you able to tell if it's coming from a black chicken or is it coming from a white chicken? So Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya turned around and he says, let me ask you a question. If you have milk, can you tell me if the milk is coming from a black goat or a white goat? Ask the Marsha, what in the world is this? What's this conversation? What is going on here? What are they talking about? And furthermore, there's a Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara says that Rabbi Lozer Ze'iri came along and he was sitting on the floor because he was in Avelus. Came along to Chachamim and they said, what are you in Avelus for? And he says, you know why I'm in Avelus? For Yushalayim. And they said, listen, you are a rabbi, but you're not so chashiv. I don't get it. So they said to him, he said to them, I am going to show you a chacham. Ask me any question, I'll be able to answer it. So they said, yeah, how about you ask us a question, and we'll see how good the question is. So he said, you know what? Very fascinating discussion going on here. You know what? If you have a tree, and it's a tree that doesn't have any fruits, and you cut it down, do you have to pay for the tree or not? So came along Rav Lozer Ze'iri, and he said, of course you have to pay for the tree. Said the rabbis, no, you don't have to pay for it. And there was nothing there. They weren't sure. They were fighting back and forth. And they went to other rabbis. And the other rabbis said, yes, you have to pay. What was that discussion? So again, let's just review, because you got to review. You got to make sure you have it on your fingertips. You got to have the Torah on your fingertips. How come the Rambam writes, after Tisha B'Av is Parshas V'Eschanan, the Kli Yakar mentions that on the first Beis Hamikdash was also Sinas Chinam? That's not true. In the second Beis Hamikdash. And the last question, the Gemara Bechoros, what was this conversation between Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya and what was the discussion with Rabbi Lozer Ze'iri? So they tell an amazing story. I heard a great story. I actually said it, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. A tremendous story. Again, it's not a halakhic story. It's a very powerful story. Meir and Chavi were going to get married, started a beautiful life together, and they were so excited, and they were wishing to start a family, to have children, and 1 year went, another year went, and they weren't able to have children, and they were giving up hope. They didn't know what to do. They went to all the gedolim for brachas. They were just trying to do whatever they can. After 12 years, they were having yeyish. They just couldn't have children. Finally, Chavi got pregnant. And Meir and Chavi were so excited. They were waiting. They were waiting to have this baby. They've been waiting 12 years to have a child, to have an offspring that they could give to. And everything was going well. Every month was okay. And then Chavi, it was her 9th month, she went to the hospital. And everything seemed to be okay. And then at one point the doctor came out and he came to Meir. He said, Meir, I need to tell you something. And Meir is like, sure, what happened? Is everything okay? And the doctor says, listen, only one of them is going to be able to survive. Chavi's having a very difficult pregnancy, and it's only going to be one. It's either going to be Chavi or the baby. And we have to make a decision. And probably halakhically, it's the mother, not the baby. But again, it's not a halachic story. And Binyamin says, of course it has to be my wife, my Chavi that I built my whole life with. Binyamin comes to Chavi and he says, listen, this is crazy and she's so weak. And Meir says, listen, unfortunately, okay, we're not going to have the baby. And Chavi turns to him says, no, I want you to have an offspring. We're waiting so long. You need to have a child. And the child, they named him, Chavi was Nifter, and he named him Binyamin. I think I said Binyamin before, but they named him Binyamin. And Binyamin, Meir was raising Binyamin, a single father. It was so difficult. And he was raising Binyamin the best of his ability. And then it came time to the bar mitzvah. And the whole community came out. This was going to be the first time that Binyamin was going to say, Kaddish for his mother, literally Moser Nefesh for him. And it was going to be the first time that he's a bar mitzvah boy and he could say Kaddish on his birthday, on his bar mitzvah day. And he gets up, the whole place is bawling, everyone, it's such an emotional moment. A crazy story. Mother giving up her life for the child. Such an emotional moment. And Binyamin opens his mouth and he says, Yiskadal, Yiskadal, Shmei Rabbah. And the whole place is stunned. This is such an emotional moment. And all Binyamin says is, Yiskadal, Yiskadal, Shmei Rabbah. And no one understands it. Afterwards, Meir turns to his son and he says, Binyamin, I don't get it. This is such an emotional day. There are people that were bawling. There are people that were crying. How come you put no emphasis in the first Kaddish of your life? So Binyamin turns to his father and he says, listen, Dad, I never knew Mom. I never knew her. She gave up her life for me, but I never knew her. How can I cry about something that I don't know? Comes along the Dubna Magid. Such a powerful story. Comes along the Dubna Magid. And he says, Meir is represented as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chavi is represented as the Mokma Shechina, the Beis HaMikdash. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants his Shechina, and he had his Shechina with us. And he had the Beis HaMikdash. But now things went awry. And now Meir has to make a choice. The Ribbono Shel Olam has to make a choice. Is it my Beis HaMikdash or is it my children? And the Kadosh Baruch Hu says that I'm going to give up the Beis HaMikdash because I care so much of Klal Yisrael. I care so much of my children. And again, the Beis HaMikdash represented clarity. It represented that we understood the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We had no doubts. The Torah was on a higher level. Doing the mitzvot was on a higher level. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, and he keeps on saying to us, I care about you. I love you. But I need you to change. I need you to have unity. I need you to come together as a whole. It's not an... The Sinas Chinam is destroying us. It was very interesting. They had a question. In NCS Y-Kol, where I teach this summer, they asked Rav Schechter, in front of the whole 11th grade group, they said, can we understand all the things that are going on, all the tragedies recently in Florida, the tragedies in Meron. There's so many tragedies going on. Can we understand? And Rav Schechter said, listen, I'm not a Kodesh Baruch Hu, I don't understand. But if people are doing Averas before Hesia, and people are just not following the Torah, he's going to be upset with them. Of course, if a child does something wrong and he keeps on doing it, the father's going to be upset. So to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Again, we don't fully understand Hashem's ways. We can only learn His Torah and learn about Him. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us a lesson. The things that happen to us is HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to us. Comes along the Kli Yakar, and the Kli Yakar says an amazing idea. This idea is also similar to the Maharal Miprag. And he says something amazing. He says, you know, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because the relationship was Ben Adam Lemakom, the Shvichas Damim, killing someone. But when someone kills someone, that's showing that they don't believe in the Tzelem Elokim. Avodah Zarah, going and doing Avodah Zarah, represents the idea of not listening to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the relationship was severed with Hashem because he's Ben Adam Lamakom. But maybe Klal Yisrael could have turned around and said, hey, listen, we're still together. We still have unity. As the Talmud Yerushalmi in Peah, Parak Aleph says, that David HaMelech's soldiers fell. And Achav's soldiers were okay. Why? Because they had unity. So Klal Yisrael could have turned to Hashem and said, yeah, we messed up. We did so many Averas. But we had unity. Says a Klal Yisrael that even in the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because we lost the unity of Klal Yisrael. And the second Beis HaMikdash definitely was destroyed because of the unity. We need the unity back. We need to realize that we need the unity back. And Hashem wants that unity. It's very interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem Elokeichem harbei v'hinchem hayom kechok v'yashamayim larov. It's found in Devarim, Parag Aleph, Pasuk Yud, that He wants us like the stars. And we know in Bereishis, Hashem turns to Avram and He says, I want you to be like the sand. So that's this idea also. The sand, one little particle of sand is nothing. You got to put it all together. But He wants us to be stars also. On the one hand, to be stars, but at the same time, to come together. And that's what Sinas Chiyumim represents, is that we lost it. There was Klal Yisrael not coming together. And we all have the ability, again, we're all so different, but we all have the ability to come together, to love each other, to be nice to each other. You know, I was speaking to my mother, and she gets very emotional from the story of Yosef at Tzaddik, and the Gemara in Shabbat says, we're still suffering. And whether the brothers thought, the Midrashim say the brothers thought that Yosef was the brother that was bad, like a Yishmael, like an Esav, and that's why they might have done what they did, that he was out for the covet. But still, they didn't think of the pain they were going to cause their father, Yaakov, losing a son, his beloved son. So too, when we have Sinas Chinam, the pain it causes to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that his children are fighting. His children. But Hashem does everything for us. And although we might have a Tisha B'Av soon, God willing we won't. But if we have a Tisha B'Av, we have to realize that we're not stuck in the present. Although we learn from our mistakes, because we made a lot of mistakes in the past, and although we're in the present, but still we look to the future. We look for the Beis HaMikdash. We're not giving up. That's not what we're about. We've been through so much. Klal Yisrael's been through so much. Pogroms, Holocaust, we could go on for days just talking about how the world wants to destroy us. Anti-Semitism nowadays, it's so high and we're less than 1% in the world. It doesn't make sense. But it does make sense because Torah tells us that Esav Soneis Yaakov, that the Goyim hate us. Again, there are some nice Goyim, I'm not like trying to start up with the whole world, but at the same time, they don't like us. And a person has to really bring the Ribbono Shel Olam into his life. Comes along the Hilchos Marsha, and the Gemara Marsha says a Gevaldik. He understands this Gemara Gevaldik. He says the Gemara Bechoros is like this. What's coming from the chicken? A black egg or a white egg? Says the Marsha in Bechoros. He says, we know, you can look, Google it, right? The gestation period of a chicken to have an egg is 21 days. Black, what's the gestation? Black, he says it represents the 3 weeks from Shavuot B'Tammuz until Tisha B'Av. But there's another 3 weeks, the 3 weeks of Rosh Hashanah, going to a Hashanah Rabbah with a Sukkot in between. That is godless. So which one is it? Is it the tragedies, or is it the Rosh Hashanah and the Yom Kippur and getting close to Hashem? So he turns to him and he says, you know what, it's like the milk of a goat. And we know, what's the milk of a goat? We know in Yom Kippur, Gemara in Yuma, talks at length about Sir La Hashem and Sir La Azazel. They took the Azazel, they took that goat that was not going to be sacrificed to Hashem, and they threw it off the cliff. But even that was a kapara. But Chananya was answering back. Yeshua ben Chananya was answering back that we don't understand everything that happens in the world. We never will. Maybe after Meir Esrim we'll understand it. But we're never going to understand, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is above us. But we have to realize that the Ribbono Shel Olam loves us. What was the sin of the Meraglim? Again, they say, you're going to hear a lot of drushes about this on Tisha B'Av. the Miroglim, they didn't view, they didn't have confidence in themselves, they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael, it was going to be hard. But another pshat is that the Miroglim only looked at the present. They didn't look how great Eretz Yisrael was, what was going to be. They only saw what was in front of them. They didn't go deeper. But we're people that look deeper. That's why the Rambam says that we have the Eschanon, not Dvar, the Eschanon. Because yeah, there might be a Tisha B'Av, but we look to the future. And you know what? That might be pshat in Rabbi Lazar Ze'iri, what he was telling the Chachamim. You know, I'm in Avelis right now. I'm mourning the Beis Hamikdash. But that tree that's barren, I don't look at the tree as barren. I look at the tree as having fruits. Because I look to the future. And as Klal Yisrael, we have to come together more. We have to have achdus. You know, we read in the Haftarah, Chazon Yishayahu. Remember when I was in high school, I had to memorize the first couple of psukim. And it's the idea of Yada Shor Konaneu. The pasuk tells us that even a shore, even an ox knows his master. So certainly us, his chosen nation, his children have to know him. And then it says in pasuk Yigimel, Lo tosifu avia minchas shav ketores. You're not allowed to bring a mincha, you're not allowed to bring the ketores. What does that mean? Because mincha can only be brought as the group, as a tzibor. And ketores also, the Gemara in Krisa says, and you have different spices and you put it all together and you have spices that are not so great. But if you put it all together, says the Meshech Chochman, you have unity. So Be'ezus Hashem, this Tisha B'Av will have the unity of Klal Yisrael. We're going to look to the future. We're going to bring Shechina back. We're going to have a Beis Hamikdash. We're going to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam more. We're going to bring him into our lives more. We're going to look to the future. But again, we need the Achdus. We're still suffering. After the second Beis Hamikdash, we don't have that third one. That shows us, as the Midrashim say, that sin of Shechina was so much greater than the cardinal sins can we even imagine. So a person needs to realize that we all have an Achrayus. We're part of the nation. We're like one big car. Every part makes a difference. One little part's not there, the whole thing falls apart. So let us remember that. Let us get closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And everyone should have, again, hopefully you won't have a Tisha B'Av, but everyone should have a meaningful, it's a hard day. It's a hard day in a physical sense, but hopefully it will be a meaningful day that a person will be able to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that will rebuild the Beis Hamikdash and have a relationship back, or further relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everyone should have an amazing, amazing Shabbos.